shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line, of course, is Brad Rifkin. We have Dave Oliva in a few minutes to talk about the ramifications, the repercussions, if you will, the after effects of this shooting that took place in Hollywood, California on a Friday. A young man who suddenly is walking down a street in the Hollywood section of Los Angeles firing at cars. One man was hit in the face. A record company executive who is unstable, and I believe he's out of danger. And I say face, he was hit in the jaw. This man, of course, you know, this gunman was shot and killed by L.A. police. But it turns out he had broken up with his girlfriend, and the girlfriend came forward and said, I wonder if, you know, this might have had something to do with it. We're going to talk to Dave Oliva about that, an aspiring police officer. We got Brad Rifkin with us, and we are discussing, Brad, the idea that Jerry Sandusky, in your opinion, as an advertising executive, as a PR guy, you could rehabilitate Jerry Sandusky. And we're not talking about you can't cure him if, in fact, he does abuse children.
Oh, no. I'm not in that business. No, I don't know. That takes a psychiatrist. I don't know what that takes. But, no, I'm talking about his public image.
All right, his public image. And you're saying that what happens here is you get him in a couple of commercials where he is at a Chuck E. Cheese having a coffee, but he's not around kids.
You know, he's not interacting with children. That's my point. That's very, very important. And when he does interact with kids, he's giving them the brush off that a lot of adults will give a kid. You're saying, hi, I'm Jerry Sandusky, and I'm having a coffee here at Chuck E. Cheese, and maybe a kid comes up, hey, Mr. Sandusky, do you have change for a buck or whatever? Because they're going to answer, like, you know, and he says to the kid, like many adults will say, just, you know, shove off, kid. You know, I'm talking, you know, when adults are talking, why don't you just shut up? What I'm trying to, it sounds harsh. It sounds very harsh. But what you're trying to do is show the adults that are watching that you are, you're just like them. Hi, I'm Jerry Sandusky. And then the kid's chairman, he says, yeah, you know what? I wish they weren't even here. I wish you kids would get lost.
That sounds hostile. That sounds like a guy that's hostile to kids and that wants to hurt kids, and nobody's, and that's the same thing, you know?
No, it doesn't sound like somebody that wants to hurt kids. It doesn't sound like somebody that's hostile. It sounds like a normal adult, okay?
I don't know, in my entire life, I don't know that I've said to a kid, shove off or get out of here more than maybe a half a dozen times, you know?
Yeah, but if you're in a bad mood, you tell, maybe not, but you'll tell the kids, why don't you shut up, you know? Or you'll say to a kid, would you turn that garbage down? How many times have you said to a kid, would you turn that garbage that you're listening to down? What are you doing? You playing San Andreas Auto, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas? Take that crap off the TV. You're always constantly judging kids. We love kids, but the stuff they do drives us crazy.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Bill. You're on with 877-876-PHIL. And so what we are talking about here is something that's quite different. And that is you, along with these kids, along with Jerry Sandusky, not rehabilitating him and making him healthy, but rehabilitating his public image.
Rehabilitating his public image, right. I mean, like that last call that you had the dump, where he's talking about, you know, what he did and where he was, the jail sentence that he had been. We're not talking about molesters, all right? We're talking about people that are like kids, but are individuals not yet, you know, ready to interact with them. So what you do is you say, I don't like kids. I don't like you. Why don't you bug off, kid? And other adults understand that.
Well, Jerry Sandusky, as we mentioned, folks, was at a preliminary hearing. He waived, actually, it wasn't a preliminary hearing. He waived the preliminary hearing today. He's going to be in the, I guess he'll be in the trial when it starts.
That's right.
And when he is at that trial, that's when he's going to have to confront these people.
Well, and that's why I would like to see him get out front with some kind of a, some, any kind, if he can, any kind of a ad campaign, a 60 to a 90 second ad campaign in which he is basically saying, I'm Jerry Sandusky, you don't know the whole story about me, while he's at a Chuck E. Cheese, while he's at a Little League game.
And then tell the kids to shove off.
Then tell the kids to shove off. Exactly.
All right. Well, Brad, good luck with that. And by the way, getting back to your comments about Lowe's, do you actually have an appointment to go in and talk to Lowe's?
No, I don't. But, I mean, if I did, I would go in as I would pretend like I was a Home Depot guy. And I would say, you know, let me tell you, I wouldn't pretend I'm a Home Depot guy, but I would tell Home Depot I'd like to go in to Lowe's and tell them that, you know, they can really make really good PR for themselves if they boycott the show about Mexicans. What you're trying to do is make Lowe's look even worse than they already are. And that's the whole goal of that, make Lowe's look worse than they already are.
Good luck to you, Brad. I appreciate you being on the show. You are always a guy with ideas. Blink if you're thirsty.
Yeah, that too bad that didn't take off. You know.
Yeah, it's too bad. Brad Rifkin, ladies and gentlemen, and an ad agency guy that we've had on our program before. That blink if you're thirsty. You can go to our website and hear that. That is that's an amazing bit. All right, 877-876 Phil is our number. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dave Oliva, and this has to do this. Interview with Dave, it has to do with the shooter in Hollywood, California on Friday. His girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, has come forward to say, you know what, this shooting might have had something to do with the fact that we broke up. We don't know. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Well, this is terrible. This is terrible. John Atterbury has died from his wounds. And this was the man who was in his car in Hollywood and was shot by this kid. I say kid. He was shot by this man. He was a 26-year-old man, Tyler Brehm, who was eventually shot and killed by two plainclothes police officers. Moments after shooting this poor man, Mr. Atterbury, who was a 40-year-old radio executive and was killed. And the last I'd heard, and I thought that this man was in stable condition, but he died of his wounds. And so we're going to have to just X out Mr. Oliva, you know?
Think so.
I think so. I know so. I'm not having him on speculating about this, the reasons why this guy was going on a rampage.
Why? I mean, you know, it might be.
I'm not going to have him on speculating that a man died, okay? So, over and done with, man. I'm not going to have him sitting here talking about how, hey, you know, I think it probably is the fact that the guy's girlfriend broke up with him. No way. Now I got to find out this poor man, he died at 3 o'clock. 3 p.m., LAPD confirms Atterbury died at 3 p.m. Monday at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. That was yesterday. Why didn't you guys tell me?
I didn't know that was the same guy.
The same guy? Yes, it was the same guy. They said he was in stable condition and that it looked like his wounds were not life-threatening. Oh, Lord Almighty. He also helped create the music publishing company Infusion Music Group, where he worked on albums for Christina Aguilera, Michael Jackson, and the Spice Girls. A lot of people are going to miss John. There are a lot of people who he helped, according to his uncle, Johnny Adams, who talked to Channel 5 in Los Angeles. In a Facebook post, Atterbury's older sister, Cynthia, described her loss. Today, I lost my John, my baby, my guardian angel, my protector. Good God. So
we want to do it, Dave Oliva.
Tell Mr. Oliva that we're not going to have him on the show. That's all there is to it. I can't do it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to talk about this on the show. It's been that kind of, you know, the week's just started out that way, folks. My apologies, but I got behind the eight ball yesterday with some work that we're doing and got into the studio that was not, we were not able to do our show live last night, but we're here live tonight, and these are the things that happen in live radio.
Yeah, but I mean, Dave Oliva, he's on the phone.
So he's on the phone. Tell the guy to tell
him to get lost.
Don't tell him to get lost, but, you know, It happens. What do you want me to tell you? You know, it happens, okay? All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. I want to get into a story here about the... Mr. Hall, what is it with every time he call... Yeah, David, how you doing?
I know you got a guest that's going to come on to talk about this shooter in Hollywood. I don't want him on because this poor man, as you know...
Yes, I just made the announcement.
Oh, you just made the announcement on the air?
Yes.
Why didn't you... All right, but don't put him on now. We also are going to have him complaining about the fact that you canceled him out. So I don't want you to say anything negative about him. Simply have him...
I already have said something... I haven't said anything negative about him, but he's been...
Just have him... Don't tell me that... In other words, he's on the line right now?
He was about to go on the air, and we called it off.
Oh, no. Bad. Bad. Real bad. Now, you should have called him at home and said, we are not going to have you on the air. You don't have him call up and get ready to go on the air. And then decide you're not going to have him on.
I understand. That's my mistake.
Well, it's a big mistake. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make it so that these guests that you have on, Phil, you know, these guests, as that gentleman was saying, these quote-unquote guests, you know, the artistry of what you do.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, I'm just trying to make it so they don't get pissed. Imaginary people getting pissed at you.
Thank you. God.
Anyway, Mr. Hall wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I just talked to him. Thanks. All right, 877-876-PHIL. I apologize, Mr. Oliva. We'll have you on another time on another topic. Thank you so very deeply, and good night. God. They had planned to gather on Tuesday on the barren shore along Ocean Parkway on Long Island to remember the victims of a suspected serial killer, the remains found scattered among the area's shrouded thickets over the past year. Instead, they paid special respects to the woman whose disappearance unfurled this grim string of mysteries in the first place. Hours before relatives of some of the victims were to hold their vigil, law enforcement officials said they discovered what they believed to be the skeletal remains of Shannon Gilbert, a Jersey prostitute, last seen in May of 2010. In their search for Ms. Gilbert, who was then 24, investigators found the remains of 10 other victims, including 8 women, a toddler, and a man wearing women's clothing, raising the specter of a serial killer of prostitutes. Each victim had a possible connection to the sex trade, said Richard Dormer, who's a Suffolk County Police Commissioner. The toddler, whose body was discovered on April the 4th, is believed to be the child of a prostitute whose remains were found miles down Ocean Parkway on April the 10th. The relatives arranged the anniversary vigil before the prospect of Ms. Gilbert's discovery even was raised. On December the 13th of last year, officials reported the discovery of 4 bodies in the brush on Jones Beach Island. This is this island we were telling you about, and we actually got on the webcast, we got a map up of Jones Beach to show you where this is. It's Long Island. It's a very, it's a deserted area, but it's not too far removed from populated areas, obviously, because it's Long Island. How many miles are you going to travel without eventually running into some kind of domicile or business? But there are small areas along this one stretch of the beach there that are not only isolated, they're easily accessible by way of the road, but you can hide things there, if you will. You can hide, in this case, you can hide human remains. Authorities have maintained, though, that Ms. Gilbert's case is not necessarily related to the others. The location of the body believed to be hers, Mr. Dormer said on Tuesday, has helped validate his belief that Ms. Gilbert drowned while trying to reach the parkway through the swampland nearby after knocking on a door in Oak Beach. The body was found, Dormer said, about a quarter mile northeast of where investigators last week retrieved what they believed were Ms. Gilbert's purse, jeans, shoes, and cell phone. She's been missing, keep in mind, folks, for a long time. What was this, in May of 2010, so over a year. She traveled at least a half a mile, three quarters of a mile on foot through that muck. It would be very easy to get exhausted, fall down, and not be able to move any further.
Well, what's she doing walking around out there?
I don't know, man. She could have been at a house. If she's a prostitute, and she had a customer who for whatever reason, she needed to get away or get out of that house, or she just wasn't comfortable, or she just didn't want to be there anymore. She didn't have a ride. She's trying to find a phone. Maybe she's drunk. And she suddenly finds herself staggering through a swamp, trying to find her way to something, you know, remotely dry and passable. Yeah, you know, you can drown. Later, Marie Gilbert, Shannon's mother, appeared at the vigil with a group of friends. But Marie Gilbert, who said the authorities contacted her Tuesday morning with news of the discovery, was unconvinced that the remains were her daughter's, noting that an autopsy had not been completed. Until I hear positive confirmation that it's my daughter, I'm going to believe that it's not. Let me just enter in Jones Beach here in our search engine. For those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD. And what we're looking here is Ocean Parkway. And Ocean Parkway, Long Island. And you guys can see right there, there's Jones Beach. It's two places. And you can see this is all marshland. It's separated from the mainland. There's a couple of causeways. So this beach here is this Jones Beach State Park, Jones Beach. There's the John F. Kennedy Memorial Wildlife Sanctuary. This is all kind of wild. And then there are some places along here, I believe, that I think there's a club or some sort of a resort club nearby. And those are populated areas. But you see this here.
But like right on the sand.
It's like a spit of sand. It's just like a little spit of land, yeah. And that's where these people, these poor people, have turned up over the last, I don't know, several months. Anyway, Mr. Dormer, this is the cop who's talking, said areas adjacent to where the remains have been found were drained over the last week and to aid in the search. They were traveling through thick brush. Anyway, so they got a serial murderer, you know.
What is a serial murderer? Is that a guy killing a lot of people?
Yeah, pretty much, over a period of time. Serial killer, as opposed to a spree killer. Spree killer is a guy who... Andrew Kunanen, you remember who was that guy? Andrew Kunan, remember that guy that killed Johnny Versace?
Yeah.
He was a spree killer. It was a period of like 2 weeks. He killed a bunch of people on his way to this, God knows what, on his way to some hellish climax, went down to Miami, kills Johnny Versace, cops are hot on his trail, find him in a houseboat, he decides to end it all. But for a period of days, if not a couple of weeks, he was killing people in Florida and elsewhere. And that's a spree killer. That's someone who suddenly, like Charles Starkweather, like these people that just suddenly decide over a very confined, short span of time, go on a rampage. And it can last for days. It doesn't have to last for just, you know, a few hours. Mass murderers are guys that just walk into a place and start killing everybody. But a serial killer is someone who can last for years. And these are generally psychopaths. These are people who don't have any feelings. These are people that can, you know, you can give them a lie detector test and they don't blink. You can put the blood pressure machine on a man and they're just as cool as a cucumber. They don't have any feelings. They're just killers. And they do it over, that was Gary Ridgway. That was the BTK killer. People like that. Ted Bundy. So, there you go.
So, this guy's like Ted Bundy, huh?
I don't know. Whoever this is, yeah. I mean, you're talking about 11 bodies, and we're talking at least a couple of years. Yeah, this is a serial killer, and this is probably a psychopath. And somebody who travels not very... There's organized ones, and there's disorganized ones. The organized ones are the guys that really hide their tracks. They hide the evidence. They really are good at not being caught. Disorganized psychopaths and sadistic serial killers are like that guy in Cleveland that just had dead bodies in the house.
Yeah, that guy like getting up in the morning watching TV and there's a dead body.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that guy's soul.
Yeah.
That guy, yeah, he's living in a house with dead bodies all over the place. He's a freaking freak. And then there's, or this cat. This guy looks a little disoriented. He keeps dumping people in the same place. It's like he wants to get caught. You know? And then there's ones that send notes to the cops, and there's ones that send notes to the newspapers. These guys are all about power. But some guys are into power. They like to control the media. They like to control the public's perception of them. That was like the Zodiac and that, and people like that, or BTK. Some guys are just into the power of killing a person. That's enough power for them. They like the idea of having that much control over a human being. That's, you know.
Yeah, it's giving me the creeps.
Good thing it ain't Halloween, man. All right, we'll be back here in a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more in our extended news and information hour. Right back.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Okay, welcome back here. You can take that map down, bud, of Jones Beach. We don't have to see. That's a drag looking at that, you know.
You know, I figured like if we're a serial killer, put stuff, you know, that he killed.
Yeah, exactly. So just take it off of there, man. It's bumming me out, okay?
Where?
The map of Jones Beach, the place where the serial killer is leaving dead bodies. Get it off of the screen. It's a drag.
This one here?
Yes, that one there. Does that say Jones Beach?
Yeah.
Take that down.
You want that down?
Yes, I want.
Just kidding.
Well, God, you know, looking at that is bumming me out. Because I'm going to talk to Dave Oliva. Now, we got Dave back on the line here. Actually, something, Dave, that you were discussing with Robert. This woman in Chicago?
Oh, yes, sir.
This is a news anchor in Chicago who has been forced to apologize after saying that Santa Claus doesn't exist live on the air.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
During a 9 p.m. news broadcast on Fox Chicago, anchor Robin Robinson, is that the same? No, I was thinking of Robin Roberts. Robin Robinson, and this was on the 2nd of December, she said that as soon as children are toddlers, they should learn that parents give presents, not Santa. Stop trying to convince your kids that Santa is Santa, the Chicago newscaster said. Well, that's what my take is. Forget about it. That's why they have these high expectations. They know you can't afford it, so they're going to ask some man in a red suit. There's no Santa. According to Robinson, children should learn the truth as soon as they can talk. Santa is a symbol of the generosity of the season. You go sit on his lap and we'll take a picture, but he's not coming down the chimney. He's not eating those cookies. He's not bringing blah, blah, blah. So the next day, Robinson issued the following apology because I guess she just got nailed. It was careless and callous to say that what I said in what could have been mixed company. So many kids don't get to be children that for those who do get to live the wonder and magic of Christmas, I would never spoil it intentionally. So I sincerely apologize. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, you know, it's you know, as an aspiring police officer, you know, I have to look at what the law is going to say about this, and I can't be sentimental. I can't be, you know, allow my feelings to interfere with what it is that I feel. But I have to say that. You know, she's right, and she has the right to free speech, you know.
Yeah, but as a newscaster who's, look, she has the right to free speech, I understand that. But does that free speech, in other words, freedom of speech is a right, but there's no law that says you must practice freedom of speech.
Well, I'm not really sure I know what you mean by that.
In other words, being quiet about certain things is not against the law.
No, it's not against the law, but that's not what she did. You know, she came on to the TV show that she's on, and she said, you know, there's no Santa Claus, and for that, she was given a dressing down by the station management. She was, you know, criticized by viewers because she, you know, to me, when the viewers called in to criticize her, you know, you have to ask yourself, what's that about? You know, she's on TV. She's trying to give people information. To be on TV, I think, and I don't know about what you think, Mr. Ernie, but to be on TV, I think, is an accomplishment, you know? And when you see somebody on TV, I guess the first thing you have to ask yourself is, am I on TV? No, I'm not. That person's on TV. So they're saying something to me. I'm not up there saying something to them. And right there, that is an indication that that person has achieved something that I have not achieved, I've not achieved, you've not achieved, you know? So I think you have to give them that respect. And then when she says something that's true, practicing the freedom of speech, as a police officer, I have to back that up.
Yeah, but this is not really a police matter, is it?
I'm sorry, Phil, say it again.
This is not a police matter, you know? This is not...
Well, yes, it is.
How is it a police matter?
Because if she is practicing the freedom of speech that we have a right to have in the Constitution, and then the TV station tells her that, no, you don't, we got a problem, you know? The problem is, basically, her rights under the Constitution have been denied.
But what is a police officer going to do about it? Are you going to go in there and...
Well, I mean, I could take a phone. If she wants to call me up and say, or call up the police and say, I was taken off the air, I was expressing my opinion, I'm sure the police would, you know, send a car by to take a report.
And what exactly are they going to report? I mean, is there a... What law is being broken?
Well, it's interference with business. You know, it's...
Isn't that like a civil thing? I mean, I don't know. You know?
Believe me, Mr. Henry, I mean, as a police officer, I have to investigate, you know, all of these things, and if there's somebody who's had their rights infringed, I got to go and look at it, you know.
I know, but I don't know what you would arrest them for if someone said to them, if I said to somebody, you may not be on my TV station saying there's no Santa Claus because that hurts the children, and I'd much rather that you were being, you would just say that there is a Santa Claus. You're saying that I'm violating the law.
You're definitely violating the rights of that person to speak, you know, to have the freedom of speech. And to be honest with you, Mr. Henry, I mean, telling kids that there's a Santa Claus when there's no Santa Claus, in many ways, I would have to investigate that too, because...
What are you going to investigate there? Now, that's something parents have told kids for a long time.
I understand that, sir, yes.
Okay, what are you going to investigate there?
Well, the thing you would have to look at there is... If you're telling kids that there's a Santa Claus and there is no Santa Claus, it's almost like, in that way, it's kind of, you'd have to say it's kind of like child molestation because...
Child molestation? Because they're telling them there's a Santa Claus?
Well, yes, sir, because it's something that does affect them for the rest of their lives as a disappointment, and it has a psychological effect and impact that is devastating to the kids. So it's like when you say, yeah, there's a Santa Claus and there is no Santa Claus, it's almost like you molested on the kid, you know?
That's you as an aspiring police officer now. You're practicing some psychology. I'm not saying that you're not right, but that's not your job.
It's not my job, but I do have to investigate children being abused.
So you're going to tell me that telling a kid that there is a Santa Claus is child abuse?
I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying I would have to investigate it.
Well, then why aren't you out? Well, you're not a cop yet, but why aren't cops out there investigating?
Well, I mean, there's no complaint being issued. I mean, no one is saying, there's a child being molested. Because someone just said that there's a Santa Claus, no one's doing that. But I would encourage people to at least call their local police department or to the local sheriff's substation.
And they're supposed to call up and say someone's telling a kid, that's ridiculous, okay?
Well, I'm not saying literally, but you're asking me about, like, you know, what's dangerous. And that lady was simply trying to help kids from being, you know, almost like they're being, in a way, verbally... It's like a verbal molestation, you know?
No, I don't know, and I think we're taking this word molestation too far. I think we're saying that just about anything that's going to hurt a kid, we attribute to molestation. That's ridiculous. There are a lot of things that hurt us in life. There are misunderstandings. There's the reality of life. There's the whether our parents love us or not. There's a lot of psychological scars we're going to bear. But to say that because someone told me there's a Santa Claus and there is no Santa Claus, that's molestation that you should investigate as a police officer.
Well, I mean, but this lady was, the lady in Chicago is what I'm talking about.
Right.
This lady was told that she needs to apologize because she said there is no Santa Claus. And I'm saying that's wrong to do to her because she was speaking of the freedom of, she has the freedom of speech to say that. And people was calling up and busting on her for doing that.
All right, Dave Oliva with us here. Always an interesting conversation with Dave. 877-876-PHIL as we talk about this news anchor in Chicago who told people, basically was telling everybody watching, including the kids, there is no Santa Claus. It sets up high expectations when you tell kids there's a Santa Claus. Well, she took so much heat that she had to come on the next day and apologize for saying there was no Santa Claus. And Dave is saying that saying there is a Santa Claus is much, much more dangerous. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and with me is Dave Oliva. Dave is, a lot of you guys have heard Dave on the show before. He is studying law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College. He is also an aspiring LAPD police officer. You haven't yet joined the academy, right, Dave?
No, sir, I have not.
And we were going to have you on to comment on the Hollywood thing, but I don't want to. I was not aware that Mr. Atterbury had died. Or Mr. Atterby, I should say, had died.
I did not know that either, Phil, but, you know, I wasn't going to make a comment about that either. I think that's a tragic, you know, that's a tragic situation. But, you know, when you're in police work, you know, you're going to do a lot of different things that will be a part of what you got to do, you know. And so I'm, like, going, okay, I want to be a police officer, you know. And if a guy says to me that there's no Santa Claus, and I say, well, that's freedom of speech, you know. That's freedom of speech, you know.
All right. You know, I hear what you're saying. I just wonder, are you saying that the TV station had no right to tell that woman to apologize?
I do believe that, yeah. And as a police officer, I would have to intercede.
But what are you going to do? You're going to go down to the TV station and tell them that they can't tell her that?
I don't know what I would be ordered to do or what I would be told to do for, you know, what I got to do. But I got to do what I got to do. And, you know, she do have the right. Well, I mean, she does have the right to speak the truth. I mean, we don't have that much truth these days, you know.
No, I understand it. 877-876-PHIL. We go to this gentleman here on line 8. Hello, sir, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Is
this Larry?
I understand it. Why we just can't say the woman was just telling the truth, being on television as a reporter, do we not want our reporters to tell us the truth?
Yeah, that's point too, you know, Mr. Henry?
Well, I know, so, I understand that.
Words,
but
all the parents, you know, even when I was little, we were lied to. Let's say, okay, there's a Santa Claus, but he's just a man in a red suit, but mom and daddy bring the presents, and mom and daddy can't afford all this stuff you're asking for.
Well, I mean, that's my point. But see, here's the thing. You were told there was a Santa Claus, correct, sir?
Of course.
Yeah. See, that to me is the worst thing than to say that there is no Santa Claus, because that's like I said to Mr. Henry, that's almost like sort of like getting molested or something, you know? Even though it's not the physical, it's like your mind, you got your mind molested. You know what I mean?
I have to agree with Mr. Phil on this. A molestation thing, we are taking that too far. I can't say you're being molested because you're telling me as a child there's a Santa Claus. No, you're just lying to me. And ain't nobody...
That's true.
Well, let me. I want to ask this gentleman here on the phone then. What is your name, by the way, sir? I forget your name. It's what?
Andre.
Oh, it's Andre. Andre, do you feel that the lady in Chicago, this news anchor... Who is this news anchor, Dave?
I don't know. Rachel Robinson.
Oh, here it is. Rachel Robinson.
Yeah, Rachel Robinson. She's on... Or no, not Rachel. It's Robin Robinson or something. She's on a TV show. And anyway...
Okay, no, hold on for a minute. Do you feel the woman should have been told to apologize? Because that's essentially what she had to do. She had to apologize for telling the truth.
I don't think she should have.
No, go ahead, sir.
I don't think she should have had to do that. And I think it should have been stated that, you know, as a TV reporter, just like on your show, when you're reporting a story, Phil, I want you to tell me the truth about it.
Well, that's true, but I mean, I would avoid certain things. Probably I would avoid the whole Santa Claus subject.
See, right there, you know, I mean, what you're doing then, Mr. Henry, is you're complicit in the, well, I wouldn't say you were doing it, but if a kid, then, you know, in 20 years goes, my mind was molested by Phil Henry, what are you going to say?
Are you? I'm not molesting anybody's mind by doing what? By just furthering the... I'm not doing anything like that.
Well, yeah, but this gentleman, you know, I was told there was a Santa Claus when I was a kid. And I remember years later going to my parents and going, man, you know, you molested my mind. And my father was all, what are you talking about? And I said, see, that's just it. That's a different generation, you know. When I said to my mom, I said, you got up into my mind with Santa Claus, and it was like you was sticking your hand down the pants of my mind. You see what I'm saying? When the adults do that, you know? And I'm not saying they mean it in a bad way, but when they tell a kid that there's a Santa Claus and there is no Santa Claus, it's almost like they have taken the hand, like a metal hand, and they put it down into the pants of the mind. To me, that's...
Put it into the pants of the mind. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm crazy or something.
Well, what are you talking about? That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I agree with this gentleman. I don't know. I don't think it's like molestation. I think you're really going way out there with that. Okay, Andre?
Yeah, I think so.
You agree. You agree with that.
You don't, so, Andre, you 100%. Don't agree that when they told you that there was a Santa Claus, it wasn't like they were taking some, you know, mental hand and sticking it right down into the mind pants.
No, it was just a lie. That's all.
I mean, it's a lie. Exactly. It's a lie. Exactly.
We have to deal with every day.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I'm not all trying to criticize you for what you're thinking, but to call it molestation, that's a little bit too far because...
It's a little whack, yeah. It's a little whack.
As we know,
I think we're just talking about... We're talking about degrees.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that lady was trying to keep children... from having the mental, well, you don't want me to say it, Mr. Henry, but that lady on Chicago TV was trying to have, she was trying to keep the mind pants zipped up, if you want to, you know.
Okay, that's a stupid analogy, if you don't mind me saying, Mr. Olivet. I'd rather not keep pursuing it. I appreciate very much your call there, Andre. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I wanted to move past that whole molestation thing. Santa Claus being a symbol of the generosity of the season. And what she was saying was, he is symbolic of the generosity of the season. Now, little kids don't really know what that means, do they?
Well, I don't think so. And I think that a little kid is going to hear that. And most little kids, when they hear a lady talk on the news, the little kid is all, I ain't going to hear this because this has got nothing to do with me. What little kid sits and watches the news? Do you know of any? I don't know of any. So I don't think that that was really a situation, you know. And
what about children that are watching the news with the parents?
Well, I mean, I you know, you can speculate about a lot of things, Mr. Henry, but I think what that news anchor did was in the context of that newscast, she said there's no Santa Claus. For any of you kids that may be watching that, you know, your parents were not smart enough, I mean, think about this. Who are the parents that are letting the children, you know, sit and watch the TV news with them?
Well, that is a point.
Yeah. You know, so that basically what they're saying is, I think I'll sit down and watch the news and have my kid be exposed to whatever the newsman is going to say or the news lady. And, hey, guess what? You know, you snooze, you lose. You snooze, you lose. She comes on and says, no Santa Claus. I think that in that way, you're also responsible. Men come on and say she's some kind of a, I don't know what they call her, you know, probably some kind of a you know, a pig or.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the woman was told to apologize. Who knows what they said? They probably said, being parents, they probably said something like, is that absolutely necessary? I have my children sitting here, and they're watching the news with me.
Well, let's see. That's what I'm trying to say. Any parent that has their kids sitting there watching the news with them, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to come on and go, hey, yesterday a man was killed with a cotton candy gun? it ain't going to happen. And that's what, as a police officer, I have to protect against.
Well, Dave, you haven't convinced me this is a police matter, you know.
I think you will find that when it comes to this kind of thing.
You haven't convinced me this is a police matter. The cops don't go and intercede on behalf of people who've had their free speech rights affected somehow. But I appreciate your point about any parent that wants their child to remain innocent is not necessarily going to have them watching the news with them.
Well, that's it, yeah. So if they say, hey, Santa Claus doesn't exist, well, that's on the parents. That's not on the newscaster. That's on a parent, you know, because like I said, you ain't going to be watching news. They're not going to be on there saying, yesterday, 15 elves were fired at Santa's workshop. I mean, maybe, but...
Okay, thank you very much, though.
Well, okay, can I get an autograph?
All right, so that's Dave Oliva and an aspiring Los Angeles police officer talking about the issue there involved in the Chicago news anchor talking to her viewers one night on the news and saying, hey, there's no Santa Claus. She did have to apologize. Probably a lot of people would like the bare bones reason why that woman was asked to apologize. It's simply this. It's good customer relations. If you do have adults watching a newscast where the children heard something that creates an uncomfortable situation in the home, you know, you want to apologize for that. It's good customer relations. It is Christmas, and it's not that big of a news issue anyway. We'll be right back. World Famous Phil Hendry Show.